We started the month of April as we focused on that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. On that first, what we refer to as Palm Sunday, as we walked our way through into Jerusalem and to the cross and through the resurrection. As we moved on through, we saw how the resurrection was preached, firstly in Jerusalem, and then how Paul was used of God to preach it in Athens. And we now consider, as we did last Sunday, how the truth of the resurrection was preached in Corinth. And how the wonder of the cross makes a difference. On June 21st, 1924, the Soviet Congress issued a declaration at the death of Lenin. It read, "His vision was colossal. His intelligence in organizing the masses was beyond belief. He was the Lord of the new humanity, the savior of the world." Quite a statement, that, isn't it, about a man? But there's something very interesting in that statement, and it's that little small word that says, was. Lenin is a dead man. And the claims that he made have passed off the scene of history, 99 years since his death, and the declaration carries no weight at all. 2,000 years ago, there's another declaration that was made. It was made at a tomb concerning the Lord Jesus, and this is what the angel said: "He is not here, he is risen." Jesus is risen. He is alive. He is changing men and women 2,000 years after his death and his resurrection. Why? Because Jesus Christ, not Lenin, Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe and Savior of the world. Because he was resurrected from the dead. And he is alive today. Do you know, life are full of what ifs, what ifs. I've got a subtitle for tonight's really sermon, and it's "What if Christ had not risen and the implications of that." There's a lot of what ifs. What if you'd never met your husband? How life would be so much better. No, don't go. We shared this afternoon with Jonathan and Sarah Bond, and it was lovely to have Jonathan minister this morning, and it was great that we could spend some fellowship with them, and it was interesting just hearing their story of how they met, and the chance, in inverted commas, meeting of 1 week when he was on holiday and she was actually working in a conference center down south, a Christian Endeavor conference center, and he was there. What if she'd never taken up the opportunity to wash the dishes at the Christian Endeavor Conference Center? Life's full of so many what ifs. What if Hitler's desire to take over the world had worked and his ideology had advanced and we never won the war? What if Christ had never been raised from the dead? In spite of all the historical evidence of the resurrection of Christ, men still wrestle with this question. The evidence that we were presented with last week in the first of this series in 1 Corinthians 15, by the way, is going to take another 5 or 6 or 7 sermons, so we're not going to do that tonight. We're finishing it tonight, so I do apologize. I'm not going to give justice to the whole of this text that Gareth so kindly read for us. But when we do our series in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we'll get to them. But as Paul presents to these believers in Corinth, such historical evidence for the resurrection of Christ, even those who heard it on so many occasions still struggled and were in disbelief. How do we know for sure the resurrection is true? What if it never happened? Is it still wishful thinking? Do you know, in a moment of doubt, we might reason, surely if there is no resurrection of Christ, there is still the same loving God. Surely if there's no resurrection of Christ, there's still the same precious Jesus, the same practical teachings that he brought to this earth, the same sacrificial death at least. There is still the hope of some kind of life after death. However, the Apostle Paul would take a strong objection to such foolish reasoning. And he would say simply this, that the resurrection of Christ is fundamental to true Christianity. And without this truth, without the historical fact, there is no Christianity at all. Such is the fundamental truth. Such is the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. May the Lord help us to understand it tonight again. Let's just pray, shall we? Loving Father, we praise and thank you in Jesus' precious name that we have a hope that is not wishful thinking, but a hope that is certain and secure. We thank you that that hope is founded on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who came to earth to die, to pay the price, to atone for our sins. He who knew no sin, he became sin so that we may know the righteousness of God. Father, for this hope, for this certainty, we thank you this night. And Lord, as we consider the wonder of it again, Father, we just pray that you'd help us. Lord, that you would give us again that secure foundation of all that we know to be true. Father, help us, we pray, that in the day in which we live in, that we would be so confident to declare the authoritative word of God, to declare all that he has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us tonight, Father, that the words I would speak and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, our Lord Redeemer and our God. Amen. Please turn back with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. What Paul does in these particular verses from 12 onwards is show the logical consequences of denying the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The what if question, not just a 21st century problem. It was also a first century problem which cropped up in the church at Corinth. Paul's whole method of reasoning is, what do we give up if there is no resurrection? If the resurrection is not true, what do we as believers have left? He argues this point from a negative, assuming certain false presuppositions to prove that Christ did not rise from the dead and the Christians too shall not rise from the dead. I've got to say, when you read this and when you study it, and that's why I'm saying that we can't do justice to it tonight, because when you go through it, what Paul states here needs an awful lot of concentration and an awful lot of unpacking. But what he does is he devastates those who would say that they are Christians and yet deny the literal bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. I remember some years ago a survey that was carried out among clergy that evidenced that there was a third of Church of England clergy that doubted or disbelieved in the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That same survey as well said that half were not convinced of the truth of the virgin birth, and only half of those surveyed believed that faith in Christ is the only way to salvation. Now, in one sense, on the positive, is at least there was more that actually believed the truth than didn't. But folks, these are those who stand before God's people every single Sunday, many of them. And they don't even believe the word of God as to be the authoritative truth. Paul faced this in Corinth, and he brilliantly dismantled the argument. He brilliantly dismantled the illogical conclusion of these Corinthians. Verse 12, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see, again, some of these Corinthians had wrongly concluded that there was no general resurrection of Christians at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a hopeless Christianity they had. It is not hard to understand why they would believe this. Again, as we said last week, and forgive the repetition of it, but they had been so influenced by Greek philosophy. They'd succumbed to the fact that there would be no resurrection of Christians at the second advent because they'd been taught by unbelieving Greek philosophers that the body had no consequence at all. These philosophers taught that the body was essentially evil and it was a prison for the spirit. And at death, that body was destroyed and the spirit was freed. That's why they were also keen to engage in all sorts of perversion as well, because they said what they did in their body didn't have any eternal or lasting effect. And so the idea of a literal resurrection of the body was offensive to that natural Greek mind, and sadly these Corinthian Christians had bought into that sort of reasoning. They were not denying life after death, but they were denying bodily resurrection. In fact, these Greek philosophers also said something else. They talked of the resurrection of the body as the hope of a swine. Oink, oink. Folks, this is the first teaching point for us this evening. We need to be so careful of the craftiness of the deceitfulness of this world's ideology. We need to be so careful that the thinking, the ideology of this world doesn't infiltrate into our mind. So we begin to create a theology, a way of living even on the deceitfulness of men. We need to make sure that we only believe that which lines up to God's word. And if it doesn't, then throw it out. It was ridiculous to think that there was no resurrection of Christians, even though Christ was raised from the dead. He was proof positive. As we said last week, the apostles saw it, individuals saw it, men and women, single groups, whole groups, 500 at one time saw him. He was so obviously raised from the dead. And this, of course, would necessitate the resurrection of Christians because all share in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. That's what Paul taught to the Galatians in Galatians 2 and verse 20. It was totally illogical to deny the resurrection of all Christians if Christ himself was raised from the dead, because he was the first fruit of all resurrection. And so logically, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not raised, verse 13. That's what Paul draws the conclusion to. If you really believe this, this is the implications of it. That if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. In other words, to deny general resurrection of all Christians is also tantamount to denying the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do you know, it is impossible to argue that Christ rose, but Christians cannot. Both will be resurrected, or neither. And so if we believe in a resurrected Christ, which we do, don't we? Then we will know that one day we will have a resurrected body as well. If Christ is not raised, there is not the slightest hope of our resurrection. But if Christ is risen, hallelujah, and he is, there certainly is the possibility that we can be raised as well, and we will be one day. You see, what you do if you deny, what you give up if you deny the resurrection of Christ, is we give up any hope of any life after death. Because for Christians, there is no life after death apart from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in him we are raised. See, the resurrection makes the difference. Logically, if Christ is not raised, then there is no gospel message and faith is just empty. For if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. In other words, Paul says, we might as well pack up and go home. That's a loose modern translation on it. Paul shows the logical consequences of denying the resurrection of Christ. He answers the question, the what if. He attempts to show that life, what life would be like for the Christian if Christ had not been raised from the dead. He proves the foolishness of their illogical thinking. He preached that Christ, Jesus Christ, was Savior, Lord, Priest, and King, and that he came to die for sinful men to give them eternal life and hear and bring them into his kingdom at his second advent. But all Christ's works according to the apostolic message was validated. Why? And through what? The resurrection of Jesus. Take out the resurrection of Jesus and there is nothing less. Nothing left. Nothing left in which to base our faith. As one particular commentator says, all you have left is the decomposing corpse of an itinerant Jewish carpenter turned rabbi. If the resurrection of Christ did not happen, then we give up Christian integrity. We must say that Christ, the apostles, the great preachers of the church, and all the Christians have lied about Christ. All preaching of the apostolic faith has been untrustworthy and a waste of time. But yet, the resurrection makes the difference. Furthermore, Paul tells us if Christ had not raised from the dead, then our faith as Christians is vain. It's empty. It's void of substance. It's just a myth. It's just untruth. It's just a nice thought. It is therefore not based on a real Christ who lived, who died, who was raised from the dead. But faith is just some form of psychological religious experience with no historical, no real context to it at all. What do we give up if we deny the resurrection? We give up a living faith based on historical truth. For all practical purposes, we give up Christianity. Logically, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then Paul says the apostles are all liars. More than that, they are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. If the dead are not raised, then Christ was not raised either. You know, the whole book of the Acts of the Apostles is just littered with teaching preaching of the declaration of the resurrection of Jesus. And what Paul is saying here is we might as well throw out all the apostolic preaching and teaching over the years. It is just, we cannot have faith and trust in it. If the resurrection is not true, then the apostles were the world's greatest liars. I remember some years ago, and I remember sharing this with you before, but it's worth a repeat. Some years ago, there was a tremendous move of God in the area in which we were living in on the northeast coast, and several of the young men and some young men who were into all sorts, they'd all done time in Barlini prison, and they were as corrupt as they could be. And by a wonderful act of God, there was a mini revival amongst all these young men, and many of them got saved, and it was fantastic. And they carried on walking with Jesus. And one particular young man, well, two of them actually, one was called Jerry Weaver, and the other one was called Tam McLaren. Thomas, Tam. And I was in Aldi's this particular day buying some stuff, and the girl who was serving me said, you go to that coast home, don't you? That college over there? I said, yeah. He said, Jerry Weaver there? I said, yeah, Jerry's there. I said, I know Jerry. He said, do you know Tam McLaren? I said, yeah, I know Tam really well. He said, do you know what? They were the biggest crooks ever. They were into all sorts. They ruled this. They were gangsters, and they ruled the whole of Salcote. And then suddenly they got saved, and there was a massive difference. And she looked at me and said, do you know what? There must be something in that Christianity, Lark. Either that, Jerry and Tom and Tam are hiding behind Christianity to pull off the biggest bank heist that you'd ever see. Either that, they're liars, or there must be something in this Christianity. The apostles were either liars, or there must be something in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we give up if we deny the resurrection? We give up our friendship with God and become his most ardent enemies because we are saying that he has not raised Christ from the dead. You see, the resurrection makes the difference. Logically, if Christ had not raised, then Christians are yet in their sins. Verse 17. You see, the resurrection of Christ demonstrated historically that the sacrifice of Christ for sin was sufficient and satisfactory and was accepted by God. If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Because God would not have approved of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the way he's just destroying their argument and their foolishness. You see, the resurrection was God's amen to Christ's "it is finished." Yet if Christ had not risen, then his death was invalidated. And we are still in our sins. No forgiveness from God, no mercy, no compassion. Do you know, when we stand before him, if there is no resurrection, then we will get absolutely everything that we deserve. Faith is worthless if there is no resurrection. We are devoid of any salvation. We have no king, no lord, no universe, no savior of the world. In fact, I don't even know why we've sung those hymns tonight if there's no resurrection. Those hymns that declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. At his feet we bow. The feet of who? The one who was raised to life again. If he was not raised from the dead, he is not Lord of anything. If life here on earth is all there is, it makes no sense at all. and we of all people are without hope. What do we give up if we deny the resurrection? We give up salvation. The resurrection does make the difference. If Christ had not raised, then dead Christians have perished. Verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, those who have died in Christ have no hope after the grave at all. At the moment of death, they shift. They discover that they've been tricked, they've been duped, they've been deluded as they pass into some form of everlasting torment. Without the resurrection, there is no victory over sin, no triumph over death. Do you know, one of the things which is true for many believers who lose loved ones is they actually have that hope that not only are they, you know, absent in the body but present with the Lord, but they have that hope that one day they will see their loved ones again. Folks, if there's no resurrection, then that hope is lost. What do you give up if you deny the resurrection? We give up any hope of life beyond the grave. And death becomes the most dreaded event in a person's life. Folks, the resurrection makes the difference. And finally, logically, if Christ is not raised, then Christians are to be pitied the most. Verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all. If this is all we get, and praise God for what this is, but this is nothing compared to what is to come. But if that which is to come is nothing because there's no resurrection, this is it, folks. This is your best life now. May the Lord have mercy if this is it. A Christian is a person who has committed everything to the resurrection of Christ. You see, for Christ, we're prepared to suffer the things of this world. For a resurrected Christ, we're prepared to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. For a resurrected Christ, we are prepared to give ourselves to Him in service. Yet if Christ had not risen, then He is not Savior or Lord of your life. No one, therefore, is to be pitied more than a Christian because he or she has served, sacrificed, and suffered for a Christ who does no longer exist. Christian would be the most duped, the most gullible people on the face of this earth. And they should be pitied. Without the resurrection, Christianity crumbles. What do we give up if we deny the resurrection? We give up life, meaning, purpose, hope, excitement. But again, I love the repetition. The resurrection makes the difference. All the talk of Christ, one commentator said, dying for our sins in accordance with the scriptures becomes meaningless if in fact he stayed dead. And so the logical conclusion on the resurrection is simple. Because Paul ends with a positive. There is a positive as well as a negative logic to the resurrected of Christ. Since Christ is raised, then our preaching is not useless. If Christ is raised, then it's not empty. If Christ is raised, the apostles are true, and they did really witness the saved, resurrected Christ. If Christ is raised, our sins have been atoned for, and we are forgiven death. If Christ is raised, then life has become meaningful and full of purpose. And if Christ is raised, you know what? We as Christians are the most envied people, not pitied. Let me just read for us from verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of death comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. You see, the concept of resurrection can only bring hope. It can only bring encouragement. It can only bring the anticipation of this blessed event, so that the Christian can say, "Oh death, where is your sting? Where is your victory, O death?" Tertullian and later on John Wesley made an observation about Christians. He said they said this, that our people die well. Our people die well. Why do they die well? Because they have a hope in the resurrection. Why is there a hope in the resurrection? Because Christ was raised to life again. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope. Do you know, if you do not believe in Christ, I need to warn you that you too shall be resurrected someday. But it will be a resurrection unto judgment. The scriptures make that so, so clear. Look what it says in John 5. It says this: "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, and they will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Those who have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. But equally, those who don't still will be raised, but they will be raised to eternal condemnation. They're not my words. They're Christ's words. Will you be in the resurrection unto life, or into the resurrection unto condemnation? That will be determined on the basis of whether you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Just as the Lord's servant presented the gospel message to us this morning, this is the gospel message. It comes with good news, but there is also the bad news of an eternal judgment for those who don't believe, but an eternal salvation for those who do. Hallelujah. You cannot get to heaven without bowing to the resurrected Christ, because he is the one who saves any and all who come to him by faith, asking him for forgiveness. All this is based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, the resurrection makes a difference. And without it, there is no gospel. There is no hope. Praise God that we serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. And this is our hope, folks. And I pray in Jesus' precious name that as we have focused on the resurrection in these last weeks together, as we've focused on it in this month of April, that it would give you such a confidence and such an assurance of what you believe in. It's not a dead faith. It's a living faith. Why? Because it's a living Savior. And we are those who not should not be pitied, but we are those who should be envied the most. May the Lord help us to truly believe in the resurrected Savior. Amen and amen.